decades of great music on the TCB Games AM Oldies program. Monty the Music Man, Seaburn. It's time for episode 28 of The Basics in Economic Development. Here he is, Mark Wickersham. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. And today's show is about economic development benchmarking. So I just want to ask you a basic question. What do you want to do when you grow up?
Well, I would like to get a real job. Radio, audio engineering. That's me. That's always been me, and I love this field.
Well, anyone who's ever thought about that, what do you want to be when you grow up? I mean, how do you answer that question? What process do you go through? I mean, how do you actually do this? And the fun for what I do as a career, it's not that when I was a kid I looked at Dad and said, hey, I want to be an economic development director when I grow up. But what I was taught by my family and friends in school and church, you try your best to help make your community a better place to live, work, and play. And that's up to all of us. So again, staying on our theme of the basics of economic development, communities ask a variation of that same question. What is it that makes a community a great place to live and work, and how do we get there? And the answer, the process, emerges a lot of ideas, and like we discussed earlier in another program, there are disciplines of economic development, there's a discipline of community development, and we're all working together, and that process overall, in my world, is known as benchmarking. And whether we're conscious of it or not, everybody has a hero or some kind of role model. Somebody that we idolize and want to be like when we grow up, or when we hit the, what are you going to do if you hit the lottery? If you win the lottery, how are you going to make a difference with the lottery winnings? Well, the trick is not, in my opinion, is not to forget who we are in the first place and to have a realistic approach to efforts at self-improvement. I mean, hey, as much as I'd like to be George Clooney or Cary Grant, I'm not going to happen. But on the other hand, there are role models out there that we all want to research and study, and to the extent we're about self-improvement, okay, how do we do that? And it doesn't mean that, if we pick the wrong role model, it doesn't mean that we just quit and stop trying to take care of ourselves and improve, but it means every human being's unique. And it doesn't make me necessarily better or worse than anybody else, but it's a process of growth and living and how we go about our daily lives. And so, it's not that there's ever been there's been one human being that was perfect in the history of planet Earth, and I want to try to be like him. I'm frankly going to fall short, and appreciate the grace and mercy that goes along with that discussion, but our community tries to do the same sort of thing. So the ideal might exist somewhere, and we go through a process known as benchmarking to try to figure out who we should compare ourselves to, who should we idolize, and what should we try to do to go about self-improvement. Process in economic development terms starts with what in the nonprofit world consultants call a SWOT analysis. What are your strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats? So again, economic development benchmarking is a process that starts with a SWOT analysis, but we use the data to measure progress and set goals for our community or for the area at large. And we can use it to compare one community's performance over time to another, compare our community to other communities, identify standards and best practices, assess how a community is performing on key metrics. We can look at demographics such as total population, average household income, population density, and so forth. And these investment indicators are really important. Things like the private and public investment dollars that circulate in the community, and to understand, look at the number of new buildings being constructed, the condition of existing buildings, all of these sorts of things, combined with data like job growth and new business startups and so forth, to present a snapshot of how a community is doing. Now, I think we start all of this, in addition to the squad analysis, we start in the comparable process, if you will, by just asking ourselves, well, why don't we start with, you know, populations and comparison on size as a beginning of the process. And I didn't realize this until I started in economic development. You know, in the state of Indiana, there are 92 counties, right? Okay. How many counties have populations in the 36,000 range, between 36,000 and 37,000? Would you have any idea? No, would you have any idea? There are three. And we're one of those three. Huntington County's last estimated population was 36,781. That makes us the 42nd largest county in Indiana. Adams County's population is 36,288. And Knox County, where Vincennes is the county seat, their population is 36,070. Now, another interesting question, I suppose, if you're into statistics, how many other counties are there in Indiana that are in the 30,000 population range? You know, from 30,000 to 40,000. Not counting the three that we just talked about.
Okay, not counting the I'm stumped.
There are 11.
Okay.
And three of those are bigger than we are, and eight of them are smaller. Cass County is a little bit bigger at 37.6. That's where Logansport is. Montgomery County's at 38.5. That's Crawfordsville. Putnam County's at 37.5. That's Greencastle. But the other counties on that list are interesting, because when you go through this list, you kind of go, okay, well, let's think about how we compare. Cass County, Clinton County, Davies County in southwest Indiana, Gibson County, Greene County, Jasper County, Jefferson County, Miami County, mentioned Montgomery and Putnam counties. Steuben County is at 34,917, nipping at our heels, if you will. Wabash County is at 30,670, and Whitley County is at 34,742. That's the countywide data. Now, each county is kind of different. Well, by the way, we also just sort of recognize the largest population density county in Indiana is Marion County.
Definitely.
Yeah, and the second is Lake County. And, you know, Marion County's population is roughly 900,000, and Lake County's population is roughly 500,000. So when you think about the counties, then you ask your question about county seats and other communities. So the current population listing for the city of Huntington is just south. We need 8 more people and we'll be at 17,000. So if you can round up 8 people, we'll call ourselves 17,000.
Okay.
That we rank 53rd. How many cities and towns are there in Indiana? You know that? Why would you know? Because you got a life. 953 cities and towns in Indiana.
And we rank where in that?
53rd.
Not bad.
And in that range of 16,000 to 17,000, there are 9 communities in Indiana in that population category, including Huntington. So there's Huntington, Jasper, Vincennes, Crawfordsville, Frankfort, Dyer, Griffith, Warsaw, Cedar Lake. Now, obviously, we compare to that compares to number one, Indianapolis, number two, Fort Wayne, number three, Evansville. It's interesting to think about these sorts of things, because back in the 60s and early 70s, the state of Indiana used a system of evaluating and comparing communities that was based on what they referred to as tiers. There were like 5 tiers of cities, and this labeled people in ways that kind of thought there ought to be a better way to doing it, so we changed. But reminding ourselves of history, tier 1 cities in Indiana were Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, Evansville, South Bend. And they still are from a population density. There are 4 larger cities. Tier 2 cities were places like Anderson, Muncie, Richmond, Marion, the Lafayette, West Lafayette area, Kokomo, Elkhart, Bloomington, Columbus, Terre Haute. Tier 3 were cities like Jeffersonville, Gary, Hammond, and Maryville. Tier 4 were the other county seats throughout the state. And Tier 5 was everybody else. And I think you can, it's an interesting way to think about comparing how Huntington County and the city of Huntington's doing. But I can also understand why we move forward from that, because there just are so many differences that an apples and apples comparison is not really easy. So today in our region, we like to say that, yet, you know, in our 11 counties, we're not really competing with each other, but by golly, we are watching how each other does. I mean, there's no question that if you circulate in our community the brand image that goes along with the city of Wabash, we're trying to compete. Now, where Huntington County and the city of Huntington are larger, Wabash is the 84th largest of the 953 communities. Their city's population is 10,269, and Wabash County is the 53rd most populous at 30,670. I was just up at the city of Auburn last week. Or a couple weeks ago, actually, but the time this broadcast, I was a judge at the DeKalb Free Fall Fair at their Queen Pageant. But Auburn's the 66th largest of 953 cities with a population of 13,888. Their county population's 36th at 44,000. Then we look at Angola, Bluffton, Kendallville, Columbia City. We're very competitive in trying to make sure that our city compares with Columbia City. And so it's just an interesting analysis. And then from a population basis, if you're looking Northeast Indiana, the members of the region, excluding Fort Wayne, Huntington's the second largest, well, excluding Fort Wayne, we're the largest city. So it's like Fort Wayne, Huntington, Warsaw, New Haven, Auburn, Bluffton, Wabash, Columbia City, Decatur, Kendallville, Angola, and LaGrange. So we have a lot to learn from each other. It's part of why our regional collaboration is important, because we can take a look at together things like our local property tax base, our local income tax revenues, our local per capita income data, our educational attainment statistics, where Huntington has a huge edge because of the existence of Huntington University as a community asset. Our housing costs and housing stock in the communities, our general appearances of the communities, how do the streets paved, sidewalks look in good shape, downtown lighting, downtown buildings, etc., and in general community pride. So all of these things go hand in hand with doing a SWOT analysis and trying to benchmark against another community. But what we try to do as I wrap up the conversation is find a community that is at its core a lot like Huntington, and then we find a community that is what we think of as an ideal model that we might actually be able to attain. So it's like we're not trying to be Carmel or Fishers or Indianapolis by any stretch, but somewhere out there is an ideal community that we want to try to model and be like, as well as just keeping an eye on communities our size.
Wow. Well, I appreciate a lot of information, but good information, and I hope that helps and inspires us to grow as a community economically.
Thank you very much, and we'll continue with the basics of economic development conversations in the future.
All right, we'll see you back here next week, back to more meetings.